Grab your lunch and get ready to listen to conversations that connect, communicate, and collaborate with our local Catholic community. You're listening to Epiphany. Here's your host, communications evangelist and certified life and leadership coach, Vanessa Denha Garmo.
Sunshine today with a few afternoon clouds, a high of 81 degrees just a couple days, so it's officially fall here. 78 on Saturday, partly cloudy. PM showers are expected on Sunday with a high of 79 and more showers on Monday, getting down to 76 and a little lower throughout the week, getting into the low 70s of all next week. So it looks like fall is approaching. We have a couple guests joining us here today on Epiphany. We'll be talking Father Joseph Anthony Kress, spokesperson for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage. He attended the Franciscan University of Steubenville and graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts in Philosophy and Theology. We'll be talking about the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage taking place September 27th in Washington, D.C. So he'll be joining us here today. And then a returning guest of Epiphany, we've spoken to His Eminence, Mark Cardinal Ouellet, is going to be joining us. Cardinal Mark Ouellet was born in Quebec and ordained a priest in 1968. He served as a professor and rector of several major seminaries. In 2002, he was appointed Archbishop of Quebec and Primate of Canada and was created made a cardinal. In 2010, Pope Benedict XVI appointed him prefect of the Congregation for Bishops and president of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America. He is the author of the book Word, Sacrament, Charism, The Risk and Opportunities of a Synodal Church. So we'll be talking with him about his book he just penned. I have some commentary I wanted to share with you today as we kind of reflect on what's going on in the world. Truth, freedom, and responsibility of speech. As a communications evangelist and consultant and coach that focuses a lot on communications, especially in leadership and the public platform, I wanted to share a Catholic reflection on the firing of Jimmy Kimmel, or at least his show being on pause indefinitely. In the aftermath of Jimmy Kimmel's, firing, or following an inflammatory remarks of the tragic death of the conservative activist Charlie Kirk, many have rushed to label it as a violation of free speech. But as Catholics, we're called to look beyond the headlines, to examine the deeper moral and spiritual implications of our speech. Freedom of speech is a sacred right in a democratic society, and believe me, I appreciate this freedom, especially as a talk show host on a Catholic radio station. But it's not an absolute. In Catholic teaching, freedom is always tethered to truth. It is not the liberty to say whatever we please, but the responsibility to speak with integrity, charity, and justice. The Catechism of the Catholic Church is clear on this. Respect for the reputation of persons forbids every attitude and word likely to cause them unjust injury. Catechism of the Catholic Church 2477. Also in the Catechism we read, to avoid rash judgment, everyone should be careful to interpret insofar as possible his neighbor's thoughts, words, deeds in favorable way. Kimmel's remarks did not simply express a controversial opinion. They misrepresented facts and maligned a man in the wake of his death. That is not protected speech in the moral sense. It's a violation of truth. And when institutions respond to such violations, it's not censorship, it's accountability. This moment calls for clarity, not confusion. There's a profound difference between sharing one's opinion and spreading falsehood. To lie about someone, especially publicly, is not an exercise of freedom. It's an abuse of it. Cardinal Timothy Dolan offered a striking reflection on Charlie Kirk's legacy, and Dan's going to go ahead and play that clip. Go ahead, Dan.
So when I heard the tragic news, I said, oh, I wonder who he was. And then all of a sudden, this overwhelming sense of sorrow and kind of renewal, and I thought, I got to learn about this guy. And the more I learned about him, I thought, this guy's a modern-day St. Paul. He was a missionary. He's an evangelist. He's a hero. He's one, I think, that knew what Jesus meant when he said, the truth will set you free. And to do it, now, I understand he was pretty blunt and he was pretty direct. He didn't try to avoid any controversy. He didn't even try to avoid confrontation. The difference is the way, the mode, the style that he did it, always with respect. And not only was that a gracious, kind of virtuous thing to do, it's effective. Because when your opponents see, this guy kind of respects me. We kind of disagree here, but he kind of enjoys me. And he's thanking me for being here. And he's telling me he appreciates the trust I have in him in sharing my views. I thought, this guy can teach us something. I've been spending the last week reading about him. And so last night, I was at NYU Catholic Student Center, about 200 students there. This is what they talked about.
Wow.
This is what they talked about.
The truth spoken with reverence and conviction stands in stark contrast to the distortion that led Kimmel's dismissal. Cardinal Dolan's words remind us that truth is not just a moral principle, it's a spiritual force. It liberates, it heals, and it honors the dignity of every person. So as Catholics, we must be vigilant, not only in defending the right to speak, but in discerning the righteousness of what is spoken. We are called to be stewards of truth, not amplifiers of outrage. Let us reject the false equivalence between critique and calumny. And instead of true speech that uplifts, enlightens, and reflects the light of Christ. So let us pray for a culture where speech is not only free, but faithful, where truth is not sacrificed for entertainment, and where every voice, especially those with influence, chooses integrity over impulse. That it's so important that we as Catholics think about not just what we say, how we say it, why we say it, what is coming from our heart, and that's scriptural too. What comes from the heart proceeds out of the mouth. What is in your heart? And there's, you know, we're blessed with freedom of speech. Believe me, I appreciate that freedom tremendously. But there's a responsibility in that freedom. And as Catholic Christians, we are called to center our communication on Christ. Speaking of Catholics, calling all Catholic coaches and consultants ready to amplify your voice and become recognized as thought leaders in your niche. I am actually facilitating a 7-week workshop with a communion of Catholic coaches. You've heard Lisa Melodnick right here on Epiphany before. It's called DIY PR for Coaches and Consultants, How to Get an Interview, Be Interviewed, and Become a Thought Leader in Your Niche. It's September 29th through November 10th and 4 to 5:30 p.m. And it's Mondays. This is a hands-on series, and I'll guide you through crafting your personal brand, pitching your and preparing for interviews, and promoting your message with purpose and clarity, integrating faith into your public presence. Whether you're just starting out or ready to level up, this workshop will equip you to be your own publicist with confidence and conviction. So you could go to Communion of Catholic Coaches and register there. I've also put it on all my social media platforms as well. So you can follow me, Vanessa Denhagarmo. Go to my website, Epiphany Communications. And you can also follow me on Substack because I write my blogs there as well. Our book club is The Lamb's Supper, written by Dr. Scott Hahn. And Jeff and I will be talking about that live right here on Epiphany on Friday, September 26th. That's next week. And you can join in on the conversation by calling in or private messaging us, as many people are doing now, or commenting on Telegram, our Epiphany Book Club, or emailing us, epiphany@avemariaradio.net. Before we go to break, I also want to remind all of you that we're giving away tickets to the Shrine of Jesus Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner, October 10th at the Mirage Banquet Hall in Clinton Township. Keynote speaker is Kathy Crombie. I would love for you to sit at our table. My husband and I will be there. We have a couple tickets, 877-573-7825. If you call in, 877-573-7825. Other listeners of Ave Maria Radio will be at the table with me. And Ronnie, we'd love to have you sit at our table, 877-573-7825. It is approaching 10 minutes past the hour here in Epiphany on this Friday afternoon. Happy anniversary to my sister Shanna and her husband Johnny on this September 19th, and to Heather and Haytham Thomas, also celebrating an anniversary today. God bless them. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome to an Advanced Dentistry Center family. This is Dr. Metti, and our team strives to treat you like family in a loving and compassionate way as we focus on serving you in a Christ-like manner. We do this by emphasizing prevention and general well-being for a lifetime. Our private practice is small, personal, state-of-the-art, and innovative, with the goal to educate and motivate our patients in improving their oral health. It is through a partnership with you that you will achieve the goals for your smile. Advanced Dentistry is serious about the level of care we provide, with attention to details and an exceptional level of care, skill, and judgment. We are thrilled for the opportunity to serve you.
Dr. Matthew and the team invite you to visit them at AdvancedDentistryCenter.com or call them at 248-594-9592. That's 248-594-9592. AdvancedDentistryCenter.com.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Is your child struggling with math or reading? Want to boost their grades and confidence? Hi, this is Ed Bahura. Welcome to Sylvan Learning Centers, where success is just a session away. With 45 years of experience, Sylvan Learning offers help in reading, math, college prep, and much more, with flexible schedules, affordable rates, and interest-free financing. Enroll today and watch your child's confidence soar. Catch up, keep up, and get ahead. Call 1-800-EDUCATE.
We're talking about the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage taking place September 27th in D.C. with our next guest. Father Joseph Anthony Kress is with us, spokesperson for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage. He attended Franciscan University in Steubenville and graduated with a Bachelor's of Arts in Philosophy and Theology. Father, thank you so much for joining us here on Epiphany today.
Yes, wonderful to be with you. I appreciate the time and looking forward to our conversation this afternoon.
Wonderful. So, Father, give us an overview of the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage hosted by the Dominican Friars of the Province of St. Joseph. So tell us a little bit about this.
Yeah, so it is a one-day event in Washington, D.C., September 27th, so about a week and a day from right now. And it will run from roughly 9 a.m. till 9 p.m. At the Basilica National Shrine in Washington, D.C., and throughout the day, we'll have a number of different events and opportunities hosted at the shrine. We'll have preaching from the Dominican friars on the rosary, both in English and Spanish. We'll have the opportunity for prayer and sacraments and adoration and confession. We will also have a rosary procession through the inside of the basilica and an enrollment in the Confraternity of the Rosary. End the day with Mass, and then a concert by a group of Dominican friars who play bluegrass music. Their band is called the Hillbilly Thomas, and they're fantastic. They top the Billboard charts for bluegrass, actually. And we'll end with a concert by the Hillbilly Thomas as the sun sets in the evening. So the days-long events, but focused on our devotion to the Blessed Mother and a deeper insight and kind of experience of the Dominican charism in that way.
Father, why is such a pilgrimage, the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, so important at this time today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we were very intentional when we started this pilgrimage about 3 years ago that we wanted it to be a pilgrimage. For majority of American Catholics, we think of pilgrimages as to very distant places. You know, we've talked about pilgrimages to the Holy Land or the Camino de Santiago in Spain. But in our Catholic life, a pilgrimage is a core part of being a Christian and being a Catholic. And over the centuries, there was a concept of having more kind of domestic or local pilgrimages. So we wanted to introduce that, or maybe even reintroduce that, into our American Catholic experience. And then doing it in Washington, D.C., which is the heart of our nation, is extremely important to us. And to ask Our Lady's intercession and protection for our nation at a time such as right now is very, very important to us. So it kind of is an opportunity for a few different levels, but having a pilgrimage focusing on Our Lady and her basilica in D.C. is quite important to us.
Hmm. So can anybody just attend, or how does this work, Father?
Yeah, I appreciate the question. As I mentioned, I gave kind of a very postcard version overview of the day. It's about 12 hours. And,
wow.
It is important to recognize that this is a non-ticketed free event. So you are welcome to show up if you're able to be in D.C. You can show up for all of it or part of it as your schedule allows. We do ask if you know you're going to make it to kind of sign up or RSVP on our website. That just helps us with the planning side of everything. But it is, like I said, a non-ticketed and a free event. And if for some reason you are unable to make it to Washington, D.C., whether that's travel or health or things that are just going to inhibit you from making the trip, we are able to live stream the entire event off our website. So please check out our website. That way you can kind of sign up if you're able to make it in person. And if not, you can live stream and join us remotely throughout the day.
So the day consists of, you know, opening procession, novena prayer, the conference itself, talks, music. Why is all of this so important in our faith journey to combine music and speeches and prayer, especially in the world we live in today, Father?
Yeah, it's we are made in the image and likeness of God in our humanity. Mm-hmm. So to engage the totality of our humanity is to begin to participate in what it means to be redeemed. And so there's going to be intellectual formation, right? There's going to be music. There's going to be time for silent adoration and the kind of quietness of our days. There's going to be time for communal prayer, praying the rosary together as the body of Christ in that way. So, you know, throughout the entirety of the day, you're going to hit on different elements of our humanity and allow Christ to redeem and redeem each and every one of those aspects of who we are. Because at the end of the day, He took flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and allowing ourselves to encounter our own humanity underneath her mantle on this day's worth of this day's pilgrimage is what our hopes and desires are.
You know, I often speak here, Father Joseph Anthony Kress, on inviting people to such events. I mean, I realize this is in Washington, D.C., and you may not live in the area, but making that invitation is so important, I believe, as a way to evangelize the faith, especially maybe reaching out to somebody who's been away from the church, or maybe they're stressed out or confused or anxious about what's been going on in the world today, and they need some clarity. They need to center themselves around Christ and on Christ, you know. So I'm a big proponent in that invitation. Maybe somebody could just make, you know, a trip out of it with some friends or family members.
Yeah, for the last 8 years, I was a chaplain at the University of Virginia. So I did work in campus ministry, and we worked a lot with our staff and our missionaries and our student leaders on teaching them how to make an invitation, how to make a good invitation. And the important thing is that, you know, we can never impose things via authority. But we have to invite into a relationship. And so if you're going to invite, and we encourage everybody to invite in this, but to invite others, you know, no matter where they are, whether they're very fervent rosary prayers, daily rosary prayers, or somebody who's maybe a little further away or beginning their kind of spiritual journey, to make that invitation within the context of a relationship. To say, hey, I'm going to engage in this thing. I'm going to make the trip to DC, or I'm going to host a watch party for this live stream. I would love it if you joined me. Come join me as I do this thing. So to do so within the context of a relationship, it allows us to build our own relationship with each other and to love our neighbor in that way, but also as a way to build our relationship with God and to grow in the love of God in that way.
We're talking about the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, a full day of conferences on the Rosary preached by the friars, several hours of Eucharistic adoration and confessions, a recitation of the Rosary and Mass in the Upper Church of the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Immaculate Conception in Washington, D.C., all happening on September 27th. And we're talking about this with our guest today, Father Anthony Kress, spokesperson for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage. Father, you know, what is the nine-month novena for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage?
So in preparations for the pilgrimage, we are, as Dominicans, we live our kind of charism and our religious life is what we would consider as a hybrid life. It is both contemplative and active. And so we contemplate, and then we hand on those fruits of contemplation. So any major activity that we do, drawing from our charism and our religious life, but also looking at the life of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels, every major activity is always preceded by a period of prayer. And so we took our period of prayer, which is 9 months. We began in January. In each month, we would pray a prayer in preparation for the Rosary Pilgrimage. So we distributed this to many of our parishes in the province and other collaborators and supporters and others that just requested the prayer through our website. And so we've been kind of spreading and inviting thousands of people to pray for this pilgrimage over the course of 9 months. Knowing that all the major activity and all of the good works of the Lord truly begin from a place of prayer. So we wanted to precede the event itself with a tremendous amount of prayer leading up to it.
Father, you mentioned the concert with the Hilberry Thomas, and I wanted to play one of their songs, Veronica, here. Do you mind if we play that and we'll talk about it?
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's play that, Dan.
In Manada convict, the king's a posing, wearing the mask of a jester, cool like a lawyer. It's an old condition, I bear a few wounds, and enough protection. Keep them out of view. Oh, the masks I wear, do they come between you and me? Veronica, Veronica, bearer of the image, true, true, the eye, wanna bear it too. Veronica, someday, every day I pray, I will see him face to face.
Music just takes you to another level of prayer, Father. It really does. It just moves you in a way that, you know, other forms, it's not to discount any other way that we pray, but it just moves you into such a deeper, for me, in such a different place and deeper prayer. Meditative prayer. Can you comment on the importance of music?
Our brothers are very, very talented, and it's a joy to see, and I think it's a testament for all of us to know that when we grow in our faith and we grow closer to the Lord doesn't necessarily annihilate who we are in order to form us into some kind of cartoonish or cookie cutter version of being a Christian or a Catholic, but we retain all that is good. And, you know, our brothers who have such great musical talents and gifts in songwriting and playing these instruments that they were able to like really, truly, let their relationship with God speak in these songs and in these songwritings. So it's it's kind of a fruit of their own kind of personal prayer life, while at the same time, it's also a fruit of their fraternity as Dominican brothers with each other. And yeah. I think that's why I'm so excited to be able to, in both a figurative and a very kind of a literal way, give them a stage to put that on display and to invite yeah. others into participating in that, in this concert. Yeah.
You know, you can always tell when someone has not just the talent of music, but a true charism when it moves you closer to Christ, when you're moved to tears or you're emotionally attached to that in a faith-based way. You see, you feel like the Holy Spirit when you hear somebody perform. You can feel their charism and their performance. So it's really beautiful. And Father, you're not only a spokesperson for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage, but I understand you're the main celebrant. Is that true?
So I will be the principal celebrant at okay. the Mass at the end of the day. So what? Yeah, I'll be the main or principal celebrant. There'll be a few hundred around 100 celebrants with us there.
As wow. well.
And then Father wow. Andrew Hofer will be the preacher at that Mass.
What is that experience like for you, Father, to be celebrating with 100 other priests and being the principal celebrant and being with other brothers in that experience and praying and bringing others to Christ? What is that experience like for you in your own faith journey?
Yeah, I mean, these are, they can be very emotional moments, right?
Yeah.
And very deep moments. And there's always, I found the Lord can speak in ways that we don't expect and things like that. I remember last year I celebrated that Mass, and I think it was definitely the first Mass I'd celebrated in the upper church since my priestly ordination that happened in that upper church. So it was a unique moment to just kind of reflect on the years since my own ordination, and to be surrounded by your brothers and that you've shared so much life with, and then to be surrounded by the pilgrims and mm-hmm. recognize the great sacrifices that these pilgrims have made to come from all over the country to share in this day together. So there tends to be a lot of different things and a lot of different emotions coming up, but I will say that they are precious moments. And mm-hmm. any time that the faithful can gather together in large numbers, is a very beautiful witness. And it's important, you know, even for the priest to look out into that church and see thousands of people coming together to encounter the Lord. That's a beautiful witness and very edifying for the friars and for the priests themselves.
So Father Joseph Anthony Kress, here on Epiphany, we like to ask guests whenever possible about those light bulb moments where the Lord really shines truth on our life, those epiphany moments, and we can have many throughout our lifetime. Do you have an epiphany moment you could share with our listeners today?
I mean, yeah, there's thousands. every day you wake up.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, every day you wake up, there's another opportunity to encounter the Lord and have another
sure.
moment of clarity and epiphany. Yeah, I think there are some really beautiful moments. Some of them are maybe a little too intimate and personal to share, but I do think that I've been blessed to be a part of a lot of major events in my life, with large-scale Catholic events. I look back to last summer's Eucharistic Congress. I was involved in the planning and the work with that. And there was a really beautiful moment in the Eucharistic procession through the streets of downtown Indianapolis that it was surprised everybody about how many thousands of people. I think we were around 60,000 people that flooded the streets of Indianapolis in procession with our Lord. And that was something that was really, really touching and beautiful. And those were the moments that just kind of, you have to take a step back and enjoy the moment for what it is. And to recognize that you tend to be part of something much bigger than yourselves, and yet the Lord still loves us individually in the midst of all of it.
How beautiful, Father. Thank you so much for being with us. We have about a minute left with you here. Any last words before we let you go?
Yeah, I just, especially to our listeners, knowing that we're about a week out from the pilgrimage, I would encourage all of the listeners to check out our website, rosarypilgrimage.org. You'll find more information on the entire event, on how to attend the event in person if you're able, but also how to live stream the event and stay or join with us in a remote way. So just invite all of your listeners to check out the website and stay up to date with any of the things coming up for our pilgrimage, but also to pray for us and make sure that you're praying the rosary each and every day.
Amen. Father Joseph Anthony Kress, thank you so much for being with us here on Epiphany today.
Joy to be with you. Thank you. God bless.
God bless you. The Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage taking place September 27th in Washington, D.C. For all the information, go to rosarypilgrimage.org, rosarypilgrimage.org. Of course, we'll put this up in the archive section of Epiphany at avemariaradio.net. When we come back after the break, His Eminence, Mark Cardinal Ouellette will be joining us. Cardinal Mark Ouellette was born in Quebec, and he's our next guest here on Epiphany.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness in crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
How much does your weakness and fear control your life? Fear controlled King Herod's life. He was troubled when the Magi came looking for the newborn king of the Jews, and his fear prompted him to want to kill baby Jesus. His reign was marked with bloody struggles just so he could protect his throne. He killed anyone who was a threat, including his two sons, his mother-in-law, and his wife Miriam. This ruthless expression of power was not courageous or strong. It was a sign of weakness and fear. We know from Psalms that the Lord is our light and our salvation. Of whom should I be afraid? What do you fear most? Are your fears controlling your behavior, relationships, and your life? Courage comes from God, and maybe you need to start the conversation with our Lord to learn more about whom and what you fear most, and start praying for the faith in Him to shine the light on truth so you can overcome your fears. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
Ann Arbor Smiles is a state-of-the-art dental practice led by the talents of Drs. Dan Kennedy, Chris Marzoni, and Stephen Gray. One of their many satisfied patients is Father Deacon Lawrence Hendricks.
I was one of the first patients to receive a Sarah crown from Dr. Kennedy. The Sarah technology allows for restorations to be done in one visit. They always use the most advanced techniques in dentistry. I've always enjoyed the friendly staff and the personal relationships that I have at Ann Arbor Smiles.
Go to AnnArborSmiles.com today.
Our next guest is a returning guest of Epiphany, His Eminence. Cardinal Mark Ouellette is with us here today from Quebec, ordained a priest in 1968. He served as a professor and rector of several major seminaries. 2002, he was appointed Archbishop of Quebec and Primate of Canada, was made cardinal. In 2010, Pope Benedict XVI appointed him prefect of the Congregation for Bishops and president of the Pontifical Commission for Latin America. He is the author of the book, Word, Sacrament, Charism, The Risks and Opportunities of the Synodal Church. Cardinal, Your Eminence, thank you so much for being with us here in Epiphany again.
Thank you. Thank you for enlightening me.
I'm a pleasure to have you on with us. And so let's talk about your book, Word, Sacrament, Charism, The Risks and Opportunities of the Synodal Church. What made this the right time for this book, which is, what, your 14th book, correct, Cardinal?
Yes, yes. So it is the right time because we want a more missionary church. That was a great impulse given by Pope Francis, and Pope Leo want to go forward and to implement synodality as a way of cultivating, you know, the sense of mission, the sense of communion, participation, and mission in the church. So I think the book is addressing those questions, and I think it is a matter of the very present in the world and in the church at this moment.
Mm. So, Cardinal, when you were writing the book, who was your target audience? Who are you hoping will read from this book, and what are you hoping they'll take away from it?
So, I mean, all the people who were involved in the synod on synodality, you know, many people were consulted and participated in groups of reflection, of consultations, and the two sessions of the synod on synodality. So you had bishops, religious, lay people were present. One quarter of the assembly were not bishops, but since we were talking of synodality, that means the participation of all the faithful in the life of the church. So it was normal to have a group invited that would be representing all the different states of life in the church and ministries and charisms. And so, my book is not only for those who have been part of the consultation, but also for the whole church in a way, because we are all involved in the search for better communion, participation, how we can organize better our communities, how we can implement the way we make decision, we take into account the experience of the faithful, and also the strength of different charisms, you know, who are offering ways of bringing the gospel to the society and to the world. I think many people can be interested in what I am saying, which is to some extent a critique of what has been done, and at the same time an invitation to continue the process, to go further but in a deeper way at the spiritual and theological level.
So, Colonel, your book is titled Word, Sacrament, Charism. Why those three words? Why choose charism alongside the word and sacraments? What's the significance of these three words together?
Yes, it's a bit of a provocation because, you know, it is clear to everybody that the Word of God is the foundation of the church, and that the sacraments are, for us, the Catholic Church, the sacraments are very much basic for the life of the church. But the dimension of the charismatic dimension of the church is not so much valued and acknowledged. And I think this is something we have to think about. For example, when you think of the evangelization of the world, and you ask yourself, who did the evangelization of the world? You know, who went to Asia, to Africa, to America, also to bring the gospel? There were charisms. You know, the Benedictines, the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Augustinians, feminine communities who have brought the gospel in the different countries, you know, who have really made a difference in evangelizing. I think this richness is not enough acknowledged in the church, in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
That's why I say charism is a dimension of ecclesiology that should be better integrated also in terms of canon law, you know, of understanding of the church. So this is part of my thesis in this book. It's a sort of call for a better acknowledgement of the charismatic dimension of the church.
You know, what's interesting to me, too, Cardinal, is that, you know, throughout my catechesis, my growing up, and I went to Catholic school K through 12, I never even knew what a charism was. I didn't understand that we're all blessed with charisms by the Holy Spirit to evangelize the faith. I think the church is getting a lot better in educating Catholics, you know, today. My daughter, I think, had a much better Catholic education than I did. And so why is it so important for the average person to understand what our charisms are, just not the charisms of the church, but the charisms of each individual, each Christian Catholic?
Yes, yes, that's a good question. You know, the charism, you know, that's the specific dimension of the Holy Spirit in the world, in the church. You know, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity. We know very well, so to speak, the Father and the Son through baptism, the Holy Eucharist, and the ministry of priests and bishops and so on. So we have a strong understanding of the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is a bit more neglected. So, because he is a divine person, which is very, very discreet and very, the way that the Holy Spirit is working is to proclaim and promote the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit is not self-promoting, you know, but he is giving all kinds of capacities of charity, fraternity, reconciliation, prayer, all kinds of gifts, not only to great saints like Teresa from Lisieux and Teresa of Calcutta or whatever. You have this huge charism, you know, in these saints, but you have also the people of God in the pew, with small charism, but which makes a difference in the life of the community, because you have a community that is alive, that is taking care of the poor, that is inventing, you know, forming catechists, you know, to transmit the faith, who are sustaining the families and so on. And so the work of the Holy Spirit is very discreet, humble, but very present, and I think we should pay more attention to the discernment of gifts, and so the priests have to learn more about that in their formation, how to discern the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the community, and to involve them in the leadership of the community.
Yes, what an important message. We're talking with His Eminence Cardinal Mark Ouellette here today about his book, Word Sacrament Charism, The Risks and Opportunities of a Synodal Church. It's available at AveMariaRadio.net in our bookstore. Cardinal, you write that the synodal process suffers from what you quote, lack of theological reflection. Can you elaborate on that, on your view? What are the greatest theological deficiencies currently undermining the synodal effort today?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for the question. It is not an easy question. But I would say that the synodal process, as it was led up to now, has been focusing more on some sociological aspect. How should we organize better the communities, and so that they have more missionary mentality and more communion among ourselves. But my criticism is that we have overlooked the theological dimension. That means the mystery of the church. And the church is not just a human organization. It is the mystery of the body of Christ, of which we are all members. And so, and this body of Christ is really a presence of God. in the world. And so I think there was a lack of awareness of who we are, you know, not only what should we do and do and do, but who we are. And how are we who we are, you know, through the Marian faith, for example, another dimension. I think the Marian dimension was weak. And for the future, we should develop more the Marian dimension of the church. Because Mary, as Pope Francis would repeat, Mary is more important than Peter in the church, than the successor of Peter. Because Mary is the mother of our faith, and she is the source of our faith. And she is not just the model of faith. She is the mother. That means she gives life. And we receive with baptism, you know, we receive the Marian faith of the church. And so this is something that has not been enough reflected upon. And that's what I mean by the spiritual dimension of synodality. So we have to do much more on that if we want to bring synodality to a sort of enthusiasm for vocations, you know, for participation, for discernment and welcoming charism in the church. You know, I think we have more to do in that sense.
Well, let's talk about, because you wrote the book, Cardinal, before Pope Francis passed away. And so what would you have written differently today as you reflect on Pope Leo and the process of synodality under his pontification, under him as our leader of the church, under Pope Leo? Would you have written anything differently today?
No, because, you know, Pope Leo, as my successor, as prefect of the dicastery of bishops, I mean, we were in touch together during the synod on synodality. And I think he would share the same concerns at the theological level. He has a sense of the Augustinian tradition of the church, which is a theological tradition and a spiritual one. And I think in that I hope that he will share my views of this book, and that it will be implemented down the road, you know, on the way, because we will continue. The Pope Leo said that he does not envisage to doctrinal changes in the church.
Yeah.
But he wants to bring forward the process of synodality as a way to make the church more alive, more really missionary. Yes.
Which is so beautiful. Yes. Yeah. His words are so important. And we're having the book available at our bookstore, Cardinal, at AveMariaRadio.net. Who published the book?
Ignatius Press.
Ignatius Press. What else do you want to share with our listeners? What else do you want them to take away as we encourage them to purchase the book? What are you hoping what else do you want to share with our listeners today here in Epiphany, Cardinal?
I hope that people will receive, in particular, the Marian dimension. So what I am saying about the Virgin Mary in the book, I have several parts where I speak. When I speak of the beauty of being Christian, there is a long development on the Virgin Mary. I think it is important for the future of the church that we look at Mary if we want to keep alive in our faith, because Mary is totally relative to the Word of God. She is completely receptive and available for the Word of God. And so she lives with the Word of God, that her son is the Word of God made flesh. And so she teaches us how to live with him, you know, and that's what we need nowadays, you know, to avoid a sort of self-concentration of the church on itself. The church is relative to Christ. And if she is not referring to Christ, she is outside her mission, you know, because the raison d'être of the church is Jesus Christ, to be witness to. And so that's what we learned from Mary. And I hope people will pick up this offer on my part.
Yeah, in our intercessory prayer to Mother Mary, everything she does points us to her son. I mean, everything she does is pointing us to her son. So Marian theology, guiding the church in this moment of discernment and reform, is what you're reflecting on in the book, correct, Cardinal? Am I getting that?
Yes.
Understand that correctly. On a side note, Cardinal, I know you're from Quebec, so speaking French is your first language.
Yes.
Okay, yes, French. Okay.
Yeah, yes. French is my first language.
I say. Okay. Je parle un peu français. Je parle un peu français. J'ai étudié en école, mais j'ai étudié en école, but j'oublie beaucoup de mots parce qu'il y a beaucoup de personnes parler français avec moi. So I don't speak much of it anymore.
But because, you remember it quite well.
Yes, I do. Je parle un peu. I love the French language, and I studied it actually 4 years in high school and a couple years in college, but because no one speaks it to me anymore, I forgot so many words, but I love the language. God bless you, Cardinal. Thank you so much for being with us here on Epiphany again. We love having you on.
Thank you. Thank you very much. God bless you.
Thank you so much. Word, Sacrament, Charism, the Risks and Opportunities of a Synodal Church, authored by our guest here today on Epiphany, His Eminence, Cardinal Marc Ouellet, born in Quebec. You can get it from Ignatius as well as our own bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to wrap up on a Friday and talk to you who's coming up on Epiphany on Monday.
Women from across Michigan are invited to come together to focus on their faith and experience the fellowship of sisterhood in Christ Jesus. It all takes place at the Michigan Catholic Women's Conference Saturday, October 11th. Throughout the day, women will be encouraged and inspired to ignite their spirits and grow their faith by hearing from Catholic speakers, engaging in praise and worship music, as well as celebrating Holy Mass with our bishops. Go to MichiganCWC.org today.
Hi, I'm Ed Bahura. Are you kids struggling with school? Give them the boost they need with Sylvan Learning Centers. Our experienced tutors make learning fun and effective. And for a limited time, get the first month of tuition at 50% off. Call us now at 1-800-EDUCATE. Don't let this amazing offer pass you by. That's 50% off the first month at Sylvan Learning Centers, where brighter futures begin. Enroll today.
Looking for a good book to read? Then check out the Epiphany Book Club, where Vanessa Den Hagarmo and Jeff Kassab bring you a new book to discuss every month. Read along with us, then call in and join the discussion on the Epiphany Book Club. This month's book is The Lamb's Supper, The Mass as Heaven on Earth by Scott Hahn, and the discussion will be on Friday, September 26th. Get your copy today in our bookstore at AveMariaRadio.net.
Looking for a trusted contractor for your exterior home improvements? Call locally owned Mighty Dog Roofing today for a quote on roofing, gutters, siding, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing uses premium products including Owens Corning Shingles and James Hardy Fiber Cement Siding, and they offer one of the best warranties in the industry through their OC Platinum Preferred status. Visit MightyDogRoofing.com today or call 833-MIGHTY-4. That's 833-MIGHTY-4.
We're wrapping up this Friday. September 19th, happy anniversary to my sister Shanna, her husband Johnny, my friend Heather, her husband Haytham, both celebrating anniversaries today. God bless them. Thank you to our amazing and very inspirational guest here today, Father Joseph Anthony Kress, spokesperson for the Dominican Rosary Pilgrimage. He attended Franciscan University. He's also the main celebrant of the pilgrimage happening in Washington, D.C. All are welcome. It's free, so it's open to anybody who wants to join them on September 27th. So that's coming up next week, next Saturday. Thank you so much for being with us. And again, returning guest of Epiphany, His Eminence, Cardinal Marc Ouellet, with us here today from Quebec, talking about his book, Word, Sacrament, Charism, The Risks and Opportunities of a Synodal Church, available through Ignatius Press and AveMariaRadio.net in our own bookstore. And we are fast approaching, believe it or not. It'll be the Christmas season, great time for stocking stuffers. And one of my favorite gifts to give in those stockings are books. And we share many authors with you here in Epiphany, including our book club pick from Dr. Scott Hahn, The Land's Supper, The Lamb's Supper. We'll be talking about that next week, next Friday, with Jeff Kassab. So I hope you can join that conversation as well. Coming up on Monday, to celebrate our fifth anniversary, we're giving away tickets to the Divine Mercy Center Vision Dinner, October 10th, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. 7825, and in honor of our fifth anniversary of Epiphany, we're going to be sharing with you Epiphany moments on Monday. So I hope you are inspired to listen to those and think about your own Epiphany moments where the Lord is really shining truth on your life and leading you in a direction He wants you to go. So tune in on Monday. We'll also be talking with Catholic artist Johnny Verba. Will be joining us to talk about the 1,000-piece mosaic portrait he made of St. Carlo Acutis. I saw this. It's so cool. And we'll put this up on our archive section. I'll post about it as well on my social media platforms. You got to see this piece. It's very, very cool. So the artist, Johnny Verba, will be with us on Monday to talk about his 1,000-piece mosaic portrait he made of St. Carlo Acutis. And talk about using your talents and your charisms to glorify God, to evangelize the faith. We all have charisms, as you just heard Cardinal talk about. We all have them. We're supposed to be using them to bring others to Christ. If you've never taken the Called and Gifted or the Many Parts to know what your charisms are, I really encourage you to do so. I facilitate those programs. Well, Called and Gifted, I do. Don't forget to connect, communicate, and collaborate with your Catholic community. We are your local Catholic radio station. Don't go away. Coming up next is Dr. Ray.